But even in operation, she should have been enough, because I know it was Dad's power that protected her. Henry Mercer is another example of a man who would have died. He was at the door of death itself, and Dad said this man is going to die. But he didn't die because Dad said he will not die. And we put him in the special care unit, and within a matter of minutes, he had severe pain in his legs, and it went away. And his electrolyte imbalance shifted into balance, and he was able to become alert, and he began talking about his experiences in the past, when just a few moments before, he was almost unconscious. And they were called Charlie Touche. Charlie Touche, who lay down in his house for days with a stroke. A large clot, a blood clot, must have struck a central artery into his brain. He lay there dazed, barely conscious, his eyes staring at the ceiling. His eyes looked like doll's eyes. They were glazed. I turned his head from side to side, and his eye coordination was not normal. But Dad said he was working on him. He was working on him. And Dad sent his power every day, and kept Charlie Touche alive. And Charlie's okay now. He came through it. And you should note that those who look back to Babylon, and don't accept Dad as their savior, and don't accept his power, think they have their own life to live, like two we have now in the special care unit, lying deathly ill. We have to arouse them every hour just to be sure that they haven't passed. These two have been looking back to Babylon, repeatedly write notes about going back to the USA, where they'd be thrown in prison, the concentration camps, and tortured. And Dad's told them many times they'll be severely ill. And at this point, they are severely ill. They're unable to even communicate normally. So be careful about thinking about anything else than Dad's power and the protection he's given us by being here. And Karen Layton had bone cancer. She had bone cancer that was diagnosed by x-rays. You could see the bone cancer on the x-rays. She was in severe pain, and any of you who've ever had a fracture know how painful bone pain can be. And her pain was severe. The Dad transferred the pain from her body into his body. And he said it was the most severe type of pain. And he took that pain from her, and then she went later, she was healed. By diagnosis of x-ray, she was found to be healed. And she's had no problem, no pain at all in her arm. And there was a man who passed recently point out to you that he was calling on the wrong. He called on Jesus. He didn't call on the power that's in Dad. And only that power, the power that's in Dad, could have saved him. But he kept calling on the wrong power. He kept calling on Jesus. He kept saying that he had it in himself. He had some power in himself. And when Dad heard him calling on Jesus, he said, "That's it. There's no hope. You have to call on Dad. You have to call on the power and the light that's in him." Cleve Swinney's a good example of a man who should have died 12 years ago. He should have died 12 years ago with severe atherosclerosis, or fat hardening of the arteries, where fat accumulates in the vessels. This man was going to be operated on, and even the neurosurgeons who were going to operate on him said that he had only the smallest chance of remaining alive, and if he remained alive, that he would certainly be paralyzed in part of his body. But you see Cleve Swinney walking around here, going back and forth to Georgetown, carrying on with a strength greater than many men younger than him. And he has absolutely no evidence of heart disease, and he has no evidence whatsoever of stroke or brain impairment. Rose Peterson was found here to have a nodule in her thyroid gland, and whenever there's a nodule in the thyroid gland, it's a very serious possibility of malignancy. She was sent to Georgetown biopsied, and they discovered that it was malignant. Once a person has a malignancy in their thyroid gland, it's all over for them. It's just a matter of time. So they closed up the incision, they sent her back to Jonestown, and said she'd pass here. But she's still alive, She's been healed by Dad's power. She has no problem with malignant metastatic cancer from her thyroid gland. And the living testimony is the fact that she's here and alive and healthy. And she wouldn't have lived but a couple of months at most. And she would have died a terrible, terrible death. And David Goodwin was struck blind. He couldn't see. For 2.5 hours, he couldn't see. And Dad said that he would give his life. He would give his life. He would die if David Goodwin couldn't see again. And David Goodwin was told by Dad to look to Dad. Dad said, look to me and live. And David, at that point, and only at that point, saw. He saw Dad's face. It was the first thing he saw. And up to that point, they'd put fire in his face. They put bright lights in his eyes, and he was stone blind. When Dad said, look to me and live, he saw. And he still sees. But the fact is that Dad would have put his life, he would have given his life, just for this young man's sight. Isaac Edwards, who was struck by a ball bat right in the forehead, should have killed him instantly. It would have killed an adult or a large human being. It would have killed him instantly. And he was stunned and knocked into a coma. He was sent to Georgetown, and I was in Georgetown at the time. And you all have seen the x-rays. Every one of you seen the x-rays of the large skull fracture that he sustained, that he had running all the way from the front of his head to the back, a large skull fracture. And he should have died. He should have been blind. He should not have even lived 5 minutes after he was struck in the head by that bald bat. But Dad again put his power into that child, put his healing into Isaac Edwards, and Isaac Edwards is walking around here now as bright, alert as any other child, completely healed. He's not blind. He's not damaged. He has no problem whatsoever. Many people, I can remember Millie Cunningham, should be grateful. She has good reason to be grateful, because I can remember her eyes when she had cataracts. And I looked in her pupils, and they were white. She had dense cataracts. And I remember after Dad healed her, that her pupils were clear. I could see right through into her eyes, clear. He healed her cataracts. She has a lot of reason to be grateful. She has a lot of reason to be grateful. Jan Gervich also has good reason to be grateful because she was healed of breast cancer. Dad healed her of breast cancer, and if she hadn't have been healed, she'd have suffered and died the most horrible death you can imagine. You've ever seen anyone die from breast cancer, and you know how horrible it is. It affects the brain. It affects the glandular system. Large bone metastasis develop, the cancer invades the bone, and it's just like a person has boils over their entire body. So the Jan Gervich is not the only one. He needs to be grateful, and is grateful to Dad for healing her of breast cancer. Also, others here, remember Mom Taylor. Virginia Taylor went to Georgetown with breast cancer. She had a large lump, was bleeding into the lump, bleeding from the breast. She definitely had a very serious breast lesion. She went to Georgetown, she was operated on, she's still alive. She's still alive because she knew that Dad's power would reach her, and she didn't call on anybody else but the name of Jim Jones. And she's fine now. Even though the pathology report is very, very serious, she's still alive and she's still healthy. As well as that, you know that many of our obstetrical, or our babies that have been delivered here, several of them were born absolutely dead. One particularly was blue, hanging limp, but within seconds, we called on Dad's name, and the baby was back to life, was bright pink with the highest score that a baby can have, which is 10. Good heart rate, pink skin, crying and moving around with perfect reflexes. Gloria Griffith was affected with premature separation of the placenta. She'd been bleeding before she delivered her baby. And when we did deliver the baby was fine and healthy, and she was fine and healthy, but between the placenta and the inside of the uterus was a large blood clot, which indicated perfectly that she'd been bleeding and that there was no possible way for the last hours and hours and hours that that baby could have achieved or obtained any oxygen through that placenta. So that baby's, Camila, is alive and healthy and beautiful because Dad's power kept that baby alive during those moments during the delivery. Mom Jackson should have died 4 years ago, but she was sent to Suriname. Sent to Suriname by Dad so she could be operated on, and she, even though she was told at that time by the doctors that she should have died, she's here, she's healthy, and she's doing fine. So to remind you that each of these cases, and many, many more cases, like Samuel Johnson, who just last week got his hand injured by a chainsaw, and chainsaws, once they get a hold of your hand, they injure your hand severely. He was fortunate. He was fortunate, and he was protected, and I've seen many, many, many times where people's hands have been protected, just like Samuel Johnson's hand was protected. It came within a hundredth of an inch of injuring the artery that goes to his fingers. And that artery, once injured, he would have had to lose the finger. It would have had no blood supply. But we could see the artery pulsating there, and it was not touched. And thank Dad, he's going to have all his fingers, because when a chainsaw gets a hold of your hand, you never come out without the loss of one or two fingers, if not most of the hand. So I wanted to emphasize that all these healings, and all these miraculous healings, take place, and the pain's removed from so many of you that you don't even know about it. He doesn't call people out like he did so much before in the States. He doesn't make it so obvious, but he does the work, and he takes that pain into his own body. And he hurts in every joint in his body. He has severe urinary pain. He suffers all the time. He can't even sleep. That is a fact. He cannot sleep. He's got so much a burden on him. He reads these messages from the USA. He reads the messages from Georgetown, and he's continually dealing with traffic from those two places. And he's dealing with all the notes, the requests, the complaints, and letters that he gets from people here in this community. So consider that. Consider that. The reason you don't see people with severe strokes like... what's that woman's name? The one... like Lena Benton. She had three severe elevations of her blood pressure. Her blood pressure went over 240, over 150. It's anything above 130 is considered absolute serious stroke level, but she didn't have a stroke. She didn't even realize her blood pressure was that high. But because Dad insists that we take everybody's blood pressure and we check on people who have these problems, she was picked up and found to have blood pressure that high. Hundreds of dollars worth of medication has been brought in here by Dad, but still, even with medication, it shouldn't have prevented her from having a stroke at that point. She'd gone way beyond the point where she was safe, and thanks to Dad, she's not pulling herself along right now, dragging one of her legs, or seeing only out of one eye, or having her tongue hang out of her mouth to the side because she can't control. She's got control, and that kind of protection is unknown anyplace else in the world. So don't put any more burden on him at this point than you can, because even though he doesn't talk about it, he takes these burdens in. He takes on these problems. He does more than he can begin to mention. All these healings that have taken place, all the 100 people that have been brought down from elevated blood pressure, all the diabetics, the foot, the Fairy Norwood's foot has been saved by Dad. All the diabetics whose blood sugar has become normal because of his power, because of his influence. All the people with heart disease who've lived on borrowed time, should be grateful to Dad because of the power that sustains their life. Another miracle that just happened this week was Ava Ingram, who had a severe elevation of temperature. She had a fever of over 106 and severe pain, and she would have been mentally retarded. She would have had brain damage. She would have had a decrease in her IQ because the brain fries when it gets to temperatures over 104 or 105. But Dad went and touched her, and she's all right now. She's got no problem whatsoever, no decrease in her mental ability at all. We can thank Dad for that. And that's not the only time. And aside from the fact that he himself has had severely high temperatures, 105, 106, very often he's 103 and 104, and yet he comes to meetings, he gets on the PA, and discusses problems, and teaches, and he reads the notes, he reads the continual influx of notes that he has to deal with. I've seen the stack, sometimes it's nearly 8 inches, 9 inches thick of notes that he has to go through, and that's being conservative. So think about these miracles. Think about the miracles that have happened to you. There have been so many, you really can't tell them all. Another great miracle, of course, was Walter Williams. We went to see Walter Williams after he'd been struck on the back of the head by a beam. He was lying in the back of the trailer, unable to move anything from his neck to his waist. He would have been paralyzed, and Dad put it very well when he said that his arms would have withered up like sticks hanging at his side. That's exactly what would have happened to him. He had a severe brain injury. He had blood and spinal fluid gushing out of his nose and his mouth. And I did a complete neurologic exam on him and found his eyes were not working together. One of them was stuck, looking out to the side. The pupils were abnormal. He was in very serious shape. I tried to get him to grasp my hands and to make some motion or some kind of signal from his arms that he could feel or move them, but there was nothing, no response whatsoever. And Dad walked over, took his hands, put his fingers in Walter Williams' hands and said, "Grab my hands," and Walter Williams squeezed. And he was, I'm going to tell you, Walter Williams was grateful at that point and should be grateful for the rest of his life, because that power that Dad has went into Walter Williams at that time and healed what was a very serious spinal fracture, very serious damage to his spinal cord. And Walter Williams was sent in to Georgetown just to be sure, because Dad always, even though he knew perfectly well that he'd healed him, that his power had completely taken care of the problem, he always wants to make sure that we do everything medically proper, so he was sent to Georgetown, but the next day he was up walking around in the hospital, completely healed. And Steve Addison was brought to my attention one day down in the apartment where he lay, and he was in seizures, his eyes were wide open, his lids were twitching, he was sweating, his tongue was hanging out, he was unable to talk, was unable to move, to swallow, and you can't go on very long when being unable to swallow. And he was in spasms and seizures, and we went to him, and we tried to go as long as we could, but Dad was told, and Dad went down there and looked at him and said, "You'll be all right, Steve, you'll be all right, Steve." And up to that time, we'd ask Steve, "What's 2 plus 2? And he'd say 7 or 1 or wouldn't say anything. He could hardly even talk. And then Dad asked him, "Steve, what's 2 plus 2? And Steve said, 4. And he healed Steve from that terrible stroke and seizure that he had, which would have left him a paralyzed vegetable the rest of his life. Dad took all that into him and healed Steve. Also, the woman who had a stroke, was unable to swallow. The woman who was unable to swallow, she was in the nursing department. She couldn't pull her tongue in. She was unable to she would have been a vegetable the rest of her life, because I can tell you, when you can't swallow and you have to be fed through a tube, you've had it. You've had it, because you end up getting into severe electrolyte abnormalities and dehydration, and it can only be fought so long. I want to tell you about the time that Earl McKnight was healed. Earl McKnight had severe edema of his legs. If anybody's seen him, you'd have seen that he had legs as big around, almost a foot around. They were terribly, terribly enlarged. He had a gigantic heart. We took an x-ray and found a gigantic heart and a large amount of fluid in his lung. We moved him over to the special care unit, and we found at that time that he was just about dead. I looked at him in his face. I said, "He's gone. He's gone." We told Dad that about his condition, and that his mouth was hanging open, and his tongue was out to the side, and saliva was running down his face, and his eyes were sunken in and wide open and starting to become glazed, and he said, "He's going to be all right. He's going to be all right." And he was. He was all right. Within a matter of moments, he was alert. He was up. He was talking again. And if you look at Earl McKnight now, he's been completely healed. His heart size has been checked since then. It's coming down to a normal size. His lungs are cleared up, and he's doing well. And if you look at his legs now, they're absolutely normal. Absolutely normal. And it's to be pointed out that the reason that Earl McKnight was so sick and almost died is because he was calling on Jesus. Again, he was one who had been calling on the wrong name. He didn't call on Dad. And the only way to achieve healing, the only way to maintain your health, and the only way to keep your life is to call on Dad. And Bobby Stroud came in after he'd been run over by the truck. He should have been dead. Large wheels, rubber tires went right over his pelvic area, crushing his leg, and then ran across the other leg and crushed the other leg. 1 inch more, and it would have run right across his bladder, right across his rectum, would have been permanently impaired. He never would have been able to have a normal bowel movement. He never would have been able to urinate normally. He would have gone into what's called uremia, which is renal failure, and become terribly infected and died. Plus the fact that anytime anybody has a severe hip injury like that, so much blood flows out into the hip, into that area, you can lose as much as your half of your blood volume, half of your entire blood into that area of the body. And he didn't. He didn't. And I thank Dad, because that tire just missed his vital organs, and I thank Dad that he didn't die in shock. And now he's up. He's doing well in Georgetown. His last report was he was going up and down the stairs by himself. And B. Jackson, who fell into the sea, at least 40 feet. She fell, another senior fell with her right on top of her. She fractured her hip, and she's walking around now. Dad protected her, because nobody falls that far without dying, much less walking around a year later. And she was walking around a lot sooner than that, within weeks. And she's not the only one who's been protected from severe falls. I know myself, I fell down the back steps of the senior center, and I want to thank Dad, because the way I struck my arm, I should have fractured my elbow and both the arms, both the bones in my forearm, and it would have been a very serious injury, very serious, involving arteries and nerves. But because of him, and I'm grateful to him for that, because of him, I was protected and didn't fracture a bone, got right up and went on. And the night we worked 2 hours, it was about 2 hours on a baby that came in from Port Kaituma that had a foreign body obstructing its nose and up in its upper airways. It would have certainly aspirated and strangled and had to be operated on through the chest wall. And we worked and worked and worked to try to get that out. It had swollen so large. And Dad walked in the room, and the object just floated right up out of the child's nose. It floated right up out of his nose. All of us there were amazed to see that happen. It was 5 minutes. Dad just walked right into the room. 5 minutes, it came right out. And just shortly ago, Scott Thomas got severe burn in his eye with juice from the hot pepper, and it just fried his cornea. And yet, in a matter of minutes, he was fine. In a matter of minutes, the cornea, which was scarred and looked like waves were rippling through it. It was just turned into gelatin. Just a matter of minutes later, we thought on Dad, and his eye cleared over and healed over, and the severe pain went away. That was miraculous, because others of us, and those of you know how severe the burning and the destructive nature of that material is. It's very, very painful. And it should certainly be obvious to you that this community has an aura of power surrounding it because of Dad, because of the small number of serious medical problems that have occurred here. There have been almost no serious heart conditions that have, for instance, heart attacks. And in the full time we've been here, we've not had one heart attack occur. That is, that's unheard of. That would never happen anywhere else. Kim Fai had a severe laceration to her foot, went right through the skin and some of the tendons, but that's been repaired and taken care of. But the fact is, she's walking well now. The fact is, when a person receives a laceration like that, it was only miraculous that she didn't lose all her toes and the entire end of her foot. That's a miracle she should be very, very grateful for. And of course, the time that the 6 children gotten into poison because the poison was left in a bottle and made it look like a soft drink or some kind of beverage, and the children took the poison, which as soon as it hits the stomach spreads throughout the body, damages the nervous system severely, causes severe mental retardation and paralysis. And these children are all perfectly healthy, perfectly normal. By the time we got them there and got the tubes in, it would have been too late to get that poison to keep it from spreading throughout their body. Because Dad prophesied that they'd be okay, they were okay, and they are okay now, every one of them, fully restored to health. Tiny Turner, who had severe postpartum infection, and she had a fever of 105 plus, and she had excruciating pain. Her uterus was like a ball of pus. Her abdomen was inflamed, and she had infection spreading throughout her abdomen. You could tell it was already up to her diaphragm. She was begun on antibiotics at high doses, which had been provided by Dad, because he's provided all medications for us here. But even that would not in any way have been enough to counter an infection like that. But within a matter of 24 hours, her fever was down, and she was already becoming well. And she's, of course, perfectly well now. And Oliver Morgan fell from a power pole, fell 9 feet, flat on his back. Should have torn his back, twisted ligaments, suffered spinal injury. But he didn't, not at all. No problem whatsoever. He's able to walk. In fact, he just walked up here and told me about that. The woman was Louise Shavers, who had a severe stroke, was unable to talk or swallow, and who Dad said would be all right, and she's all right. In a matter of moments after he spoke the word, she was fine. And I want to thank Dad personally, because I wouldn't be standing here now if several years ago he hadn't have stopped the plane from crashing, which was landing in the San Francisco airport. And when the plane landed and touched down, there was a tremendous joy when the plane first touched the runway. And all the people in the plane looked around in amazement at each other. And the person I was sitting next to looked in amazement at me. And when I got back to...